Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of the program Dare to Be Different. My name is Ismail Briava. It's just wonderful to have you tuning in via the audio streaming, Media Wave 1548 in satellite. Looking out the studios of Radio Islam, beautiful sunshine, brilliant skies, no sign of rain. We are again scanning the skies, but alhamdulillah, we've been truly blessed. We've had some lovely showers yesterday. I'm not too sure the showers have been widespread or it's just been confined to certain parts of the country. And we're still in that position where we still have to use our water, but not just because we're going to spirit of drought, but at all times, and be mindful of how you use your water. And if you have and you are able to recycle some of your grey water, please do that. This morning we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest, and that's Karian. She's no stranger to Radio Islam. Gary Goodwin comes from a family of horticulturists, enthusiasts, and lots and lots of ideas to share with us. And they run two very successful garden centres out in Gauteng. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I said running very successful, garden centres. Tell us, what's the garden centres like being like this year? Has it been as exciting or has it been more challenging?
I was going to say, I think they've been more challenging, but that always brings excitement because I think challenges push you to new innovations and new ways of doing things. And, you know, with this lack of water that we're having, I'm always amazed at how our teams and the people that we work with and even the gardeners have to change their ideas and think of different ways to actually water their plants or how to plant. So I think with the challenge comes the excitement of being different, as your radio show states.
You know, I must say to you that, we've got to be different. And when you said that, I was looking at some of the habits that people have and have they changed them. And that's some of the things we're going to look at this morning. Can you know that have we stopped, or perhaps when we're brushing our teeth, have we decided, well, fine, we're not going to let the water run, or we're going to have something at the bottom so that we collect that water and then we're going to use it later on in the garden or, water our plants? Or do we have a bucket in our showers that's when we let the cold water run so that we have to go to a certain temperature before we jump into shower? We've been doing some of that, and if we have, then we've taken that water and then perhaps watered our plants. So like you said, lots of new ideas coming. People have come in and said, well, fine, let's try this, let's try that. Can you share some of your ideas that you've been able to do, or people have come up and said, look, this is what we're trying, this is what is more exciting, this is what we are doing?
Okay. So one of the things that I'm really liking in the garden center at the moment is that we use, people are starting to mulch again. So that whole concept of recycling, the grass clippings that they're doing of their grass weekly or every 2 weeks, they're actually starting to put back into their garden to protect the soil. Because I think what we forget is the soil is actually our most important thing. So if we can try and keep our soil cool and moist, then that's half the battle won, because then the water will be retained in the soil. It's when we have bare patches in our garden that it just creates that hot, all those pictures you see of drought. There's never any plants in the picture. There's just this cracking soil. So the better we can enrich our soil and protect it. One of the other things I'm really liking, so it's still to do with the soil, is, and the growers actually started doing it a few years ago, is they started adding coir to their medium. Mm-hmm. So it's palm peat, and you buy it in little blocks, and you mix it with a few liters of water, and you put it in your garden. So I've dug it into my garden now. And basically it holds onto the water that you feed your plants for at least 5 days. So the amount of water that I'm giving, and it's just on the top layers, but I've, as I say, I've dug it in. And you can see it in the seedling trays already, where the growers have put it in. It's making your plants more water-wise automatically. So when you buy them, they're more water-wise. If you put it into your gardens, I mean, we have customers who are liking to use it in their pots. Tanya Fisser, for example, I think she uses it sometimes where she plants a whole pot with very little compost and just with palm peat. And it really does hold onto that water. I was in Clarence a few weeks ago, and I was showing some people there how to use this palm peat, and I put it in a little cup, and I showed them how to use it, and then I thought, oh, I'll bring it home and, remind our team to tell our customers to buy it. And I kept it in this little cup for, as I said, 5 days, and the soil was still moist after 5 days and traveling back from Clarence. So even in this heat, there's little things you can do like that to add to your soil to help it retain its water and then provide water for the plant, because as the roots need that water, the coir will release it onto the roots. So it's quite a nice product to use.
You know, I've seen that working, and I must say it's a splendid idea, and the concept is fantastic. How do we get gardeners to use it? You know, I think we need people to change those mindsets, and like you said, if you can show them the advantages of using this medium and how much, you know, they would save, both in terms of time as well as in terms of watering. And, you know, we're going through this period of where lots of people will be away from home or going away on holiday and so forth. So to dig in this, I think, would be a fantastic idea, because if you have pot plants and so forth, you wouldn't have to get someone to water your plants as regularly as you would normally. Is that correct?
Yeah. No, you wouldn't at all. So as I say, it comes in little either 1 kilogram box blocks or 600 gram blocks, and you put that in 10 liters of water, and then it almost makes like 10 liters of soil. And then you just mix that probably, you know, in your pots, depending on the size of your pots. I would normally just mix it in with the top layer of soil. And it will just, as I say, hold the water longer. One of the best ways to keep your indoor plants, if you're going away, healthy during this time, is to fill your bath with 5 centimeters of soil, and then, soil of water, and then put your indoor plants in the bath with a towel, a damp towel. And that actually would keep your plants, your indoor plants, alive while you go away on holiday.
And let's just go through this. So you take a bath of water, and you say 5 centimeters, and then do you soak the towel in the bath and then put on the plants, or how would you do that?
You can put the towel almost around the plant, so the plants are sitting on top of the towel.
Okay.
So then, you know, the towel has the moisture in it, and it's keeping it moist, and the plants aren't sitting in water, because you don't really want your roots to sit in any type of water. But then the roots will slowly grow through the little holes in the pot, and then they would suck the water up from the towel. So it just keeps them alive, you know, when you are away. Because there's nothing worse than coming home and finding all your plants are not alive anymore. It's just devastating.
Tell me about that, you know, the feeling, because I remember I planted some veggies, and I don't know what had happened. When I came back, lo and behold, I found that all it just suddenly died on us. And that was quite a, you know, you go through all the processes, and suddenly you find things dying on you, you know, and that feeling is such a, you know, difficult feeling, and I don't want that to happen to anybody's plants when you come back, especially in a holiday. How long do you think it would last? Would it be 2 weeks? Would that be too long, or is it fine for that?
2 weeks within the bath should be perfect.
Is that,
you know, when you talk about your veggies and things, I think one of the biggest things that we forget about when we, with all this drought, and we think that trees use a lot of water, which they do in the long run, but when you have plants in the shade, they can just survive for so much longer. So if I had veggies at the moment, that hopefully I would put them in containers, or I would have a small tree in a pot, I would almost go and put almost like a cover or provide shade for your plants that you really, really, you know, aren't able to put in a bath or add any type of a mulch to. So it just, when you water them, and you're also going to have to maybe ask a friend to come and help water them, but they're going to be kept that little bit cooler. They might grow a bit taller because, you know, especially your veggies, they don't really like the shade too much. But if it's dappled shade, and it's just going to, again, going to keep that soil temperature cooler, the plants are actually quite resilient. It never ceases to surprise me as how they bounce back. You know, when they do get the rain, and luckily we are having interspersed showers every now and again, they just seem to say, oh, you know, I'm alive. Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
You know,
I think that's what's remarkable.
I've been just watching some of the plants again, and you know that when you have the, you know, direct afternoon sun, I think it takes a greater hammering than, you know, plants that are sort of are planted in other directions. And because the heat intensity and the temperature have risen dramatically over 30s, and I don't think sort of once a day watering is doing the trick. You have to water it more than once. What suggestions do you have?
Okay, so with the water restrictions, we've been almost forced to only water very early in the morning or late in the evenings, which I always think is actually quite therapeutic to be able to do that. So there's nothing like coming home and then having to water your garden and just going and enjoying the outdoors. I think that's what the water restrictions to me are forcing me to do. But I think when you're watering, it's actually to give your plants more water but less frequently. So we shouldn't have to be watering them more than once a day. If you're watering them for longer periods, you're encouraging them to get good, strong roots, and they actually have to go and look for water. So, again, the plant is performing under the ground where you don't see it, and that's what's going to protect it and make it look beautiful above the ground. You know, some of the plants I know, like for us in the nursery with the roses, it's just so hot for them in the middle of the day. So we've started using a product, well, if we are lucky, and luckily we do get exempt, we mist them for like 2 minutes. We spray their leaves in the middle of the day just to cool them off. It's like a shower for them. And also because they're still in bags, whereas in your garden, your roses would be, they like that, I think what roses need 15 to 20 liters of water a week. And they would prefer that only twice a week instead of 3 or 4 liters every day. If you gave them 10 liters on a Monday and then another 10 liters on a Thursday, Friday, you would just see how much stronger your rose bush would become. So I think it's to encourage your plants to become stronger, you need to water them for longer but less frequently.
No, definitely. And I think that's the other idea, you know. But again, I think these are habits, you know, because the intensity of the heat and you're getting out there and you just cannot sort of sometimes stand long enough because you don't want to let the water be running. You know, you don't sort of stand there long enough for the, you know, drenching that you need, you know, the soaking that you need. And I think some of that seems to be another challenge.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's almost encouraging when you're using your bath water and that sort of thing. I know that's what I'm busy doing. So I've got a 10-liter watering can, and once I've had my bath or I've had my shower and I pour my water into there, then I use that one bucket or watering can and water individual plants. So again, they're getting lots of water but less frequently, which does help them out a bit. The one thing that I saw, which I thought was lovely, is, you know, we all have those garden hoses which have holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done in our garden beds at some of the nurseries is we've taken our garden hoses that we've just tried to repair and it's not repairable anymore, and we've laid it down as a drip irrigation. So, you know, instead of some of our team coming to start work at 7 o'clock in the morning, which they are doing at the moment because of the watering, we turn on the water a little bit earlier and it just drips into the flower bed for a longer period of time. So you're not using as much water. It's not an irrigation system that I had to put in or anything. And again, it's that recycling and just using something that you already have that maybe you thought was broken. And it works fantastically to give the water directly to the soil. Because as soon as you have the overhead sprayers and the, you know, irrigation that 20 or 30 or 40 centimeters above the ground, you're losing quite a lot of water to evaporation. And I mean with the wind that we've been having, it's not only the heat that the plants are suffering from and the lack of water, but the wind is basically just sapping all that water from their leaves. And to me, that's what the scary thing is. It's this combination of our weather conditions at the moment that are causing our plants to suffer.
Kerry, I don't know if you can answer this question, but, you know, in the years that you've been in the industry, do you find that this has been sort of the most intense in terms of heat? We're talking about 5, 10, 15, 20 years back. I know that people say that these are repetitive cycles, you know, it comes and goes, and we have temperatures mm-hmm. rising. And don't forget, we've had this, you know, extreme temperature about 10 or 15 years ago. In your own experience, has this been as extreme, or is it the first time you've gone through some of it?
I was going to say, I think it's the first time that I've gone through it with a realization of how we have to adapt. And it makes me sad in one way that it takes extreme measures like this to force us to change our ways. You know, when I was little, and that's when you were talking about 10, 15 years ago when we did have drought, we did change our ways, but for the few months that it was the drought. So, you know, we started implementing all that we're doing now. But if we had just continued with those ways and not go back to using the water in excess, and because we know we live in a water-stressed country. So to me, we should, you know, be taught and grow up knowing that water is scarce and how do we conserve it every single day. It shouldn't be something that we have to do because we're in a drought situation now. It should just come naturally to us. And I think that's actually what the government is trying to teach us. You know, we had a wonderful chat by the gentleman from Water and Sanitation recently,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying there is water available. I mean, I was reading in the newspaper yesterday that South Africa wants to take some of the water from the Lesotho Highlands project and give it to Botswana. I'm thinking, how can they give water to Botswana when we don't even have enough for ourselves? But there is water available. They're just trying to encourage the population to look after it and to treat it as a scarce resource that it is.
You know, what's
and
a scarce?
That's why, yeah.
No, Kerry, I'm sorry about that. Carry on.
And I was going to say, and that's why they put in the water restrictions, because the water restrictions are not because we're running out of water. Obviously, our dams are low, but they can refill them. There is a source of water available. It might not be, you know, endless, but it was never going to be endless. But they're just trying to encourage the public to look at the way that they're living and be more conservative and just treat the water with respect that it deserves, I think.
I think this is an important and valid point that, you know, sometimes when you go through periods of loss and, you know, that we forget that there's going to be a period of scarcity. And like you said, we lived in a water-stressed country, and certain portions of our country have very little rainfall. So we've got to be mindful of all of that. But these are lessons that we learn, and being human as we are, I think we tend to forget them. In 2 or 3 years when the rains come and we've forgotten that we've been gone through this period of stress. And the question that I've got this come through is, you know, the temperatures. While we've gone through periods of drought in the past, have we seen such soaring temperatures in the Gauteng? Other parts of the country, yes, but in Gauteng, you know, it's gone over into the mid-30s. Is that normal? I'm not too sure. You see, the thing is, when you talk to experts, they say, no, fine, it is, you know, cyclic. It has happened maybe 10 or 15 years. It's not the first time. Because we've forgotten, our memories are so short, we think, oh, fine, we're living through it for the very first time, and why is it happening? I'm not too sure. Is there an answer to that?
Actually, I think the temperature rising is the first time that we're getting hotter and having more consistent, what they would classify as heat waves. Mm-hmm. So we used to have our temperatures rise, but it would be for 1 or 2 days and not be every week that we would have 2 or 3 days that are consistently 2 to 3 degrees hotter than normal. And you know, that was what the COP was all about recently in Paris, is that our temperature is rising, and we have to try and make ways that we can try and look after this, you know, not emit so many carbon gases, and to have the greenhouse effect, which is more coming from the northern hemisphere than ourselves. But we just have to, so to me the temperature is getting hotter. There's no doubt about it. And how we adapt to that is going to be the challenge.
So, you know, we're talking about the global warming and the gas emissions and so forth, and whilst we're not the, you know, the main culprits, I'm not saying we're not culprits, we may not be the main culprits, but we do have an active role to play, and I know there's lots of research being done of how we can perhaps neutralize some of it. And one of the most important, things coming through is that if each one can understand that he or she is able to reduce these carbon emissions, and then also do something. For example, it's an ideal time if you're wanting to give anyone a gift. Give them a tree. You know, if everyone plants a tree, and we have so much of trees, so many more trees, and we'd find that slowly. So, you know, we should be looking at, dramatic. If each one just does one small thing, I think that would go a long way. Would that be something that would help? Because I know COP2 has come through, and they've made, you know, the governments are coming and bashing their heads and saying, well, we haven't got this agreement, we want you to do that, we want you to reduce your carbon emission, then we'll do ours. And I'm saying that all happens in that part of the world. Here, where we come and, you know, we find that we're in a very different part, very different corner of the world, we can still make a meaningful change.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, as you say, it's just making a small difference. So the planting the tree would help. You know, the driving less would also help. It's just our everyday life, we seem to, and there's a lot of hidden water usage or hidden ways that we are creating carbon emissions. And so, you know, it's when we buy the vegetables that are not in season, but we really feel like them. So those little things that have a footprint, whether it be a carbon footprint or a water footprint, we have to be aware of that more. I mean, one of the best ways that you can do now, and as a little thing, to save water is actually to have your own vegetable garden. So you don't have to go to the shops to go and buy your veggies, but just walk out your front door and pick them. You know, that is reducing your water and your carbon footprint all in one. So I think there are little things that we have to start doing to make it that we are looking after the earth. That is our, you know, this is our livelihood, how are we going to be sustainable?
Well, Kerry, we're going to continue the conversation after 9 o'clock news. We're going to break for news. When we come back, we can talk about some about vegetable gardening. I want to take on the aspect of the therapeutic aspect of gardening. And there's been a question about mulch and lawns. We'll talk about that after the news.
Okay.
Thanks,
Kerry.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our program, Dare to be Different. It's wonderful to have all tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, medium wave 1548 and satellite Islam. My name is Ismail Variyava, and we've got a wonderful guest, and yes, Kerry Goodwin, and she's always such an inspirational person to listen to, wonderful ideas and lots to share. There's something about gardeners, and I've learned, and I always share with others, that people from the gardening industry are always willing to share, always willing to give up, and I don't know if it happens to all other professions or other, you know, trades, but definitely within the garden fraternity. It's that wonderful spirit of camaraderie, wonderful spirit of sharing. Hi, good morning, Kerry.
Good morning. How are you, again?
Very well, thank you. You know, it's something that I always tell people, that, you know, in the circle of gardeners, it's very seldom I found someone who says, I'm not prepared to share, I can't give you. And go to a gardener's home, he's always said, well, fine, here's a small plant, or here, you take a cutting from here. And I think there's something that just fascinates me all the time.
I think it's so true, actually. That's what I love about gardeners, is their willingness to share. And whether it just be their advice, their water, I think people at the moment are even, you know, if they've used all their water, their plants, and have extra buckets of water, then they go and give it to their neighbors as well.
Wow.
Because they just want to keep everything alive and living. So
I think it's such a fantastic thing to do. Listeners, if you have any callers, any queries, remember that the number to dial 854-1548, 854-1548. Mohammed Biral with us this morning, and he's waiting on to take your call. I've got a couple of queries that have come through before we continue. Gary, they spoke about mulch and grass. They said that if you, you know, mulch with the lawn clippings, it sometimes becomes a thick mat and the water does not get through. Is that correct?
It is true. It would be advisable to mix your lawn clippings with some of the leaves that have fallen from your tree. So you have different textures and different sized leaves that actually then break down over time into compost, because you don't want it to form that thick mat. Or, you know, you mix it with some bark chips. It's also a really nice one to use as a mulch. So I wouldn't always use direct grass clippings, although I did say that earlier. It is nice to kind of mix your different textures and size leaves with each other to form a mulch.
Okay, maybe for many of our listeners who are not very familiar with the process of mulching, okay, before we do that, let's take that caller on and then we go back to the mulching one. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, please go ahead, Ben.
I've got a remedy. Well, I say a remedy with a difference.
Okay.
You see this a weed that grows in the garden. It's called a brain nettle.
Okay.
I suffered from a pinched nerve.
Okay.
Right? 5-6 years back, I had an operation done on me. With a slip disc and... were the result of the nerve pinched.
Okay.
That, at that time, I didn't realize I've got a remedy within my mutts.
Okay.
The second time around, now a few months back, the pinched nerve started again. Some time ago, I told this neighbor of mine, I saw this brain nettle in a garden. Then I told her, it's an African lady, I told her, you know what, Mamsi, I think we must try and use this thing on somebody who got a stroke, where the nerve pulled skew, where the mouth pulled to the one side. And then we must try and heat this person, or I won't say heat, just so that the leaf can touch the skin, where it likes give in like a shock, where the mouth can maybe pull back. And nevertheless, not knowing that I was the one that I'm going to use it on myself.
Okay.
And alhamdulillah, shukr. I told when I went to the hospital, they put me on traction. The pinch was still there. Everything was still there. I came out of hospital. I told this auntie, look here, try and get me some of this brain nettle. And she came one night. She came and we had supper together. We were sitting here. And when I was finished, I told her, Mamsi, I think it's time now. You can come use the brain nettle on me. Wallahi wa rasul. I'm trying to give it to everybody, this remedy.
Okay, so it's brand nettle. You take it and you put it onto your skin and you found it has helped you.
You just like eat it so lightly.
Okay.
Just there where the nerve pinch.
Okay.
And alhamdulillah, it's almost 3 months now, the nerve hasn't been troubling me as yet.
Thank you very much for your call. We do appreciate it. Wonderful. Thank you. Walaikum salam. That was the person who's tried something. And again, remember from our side that when you are doing some of these, to take also the necessary advice from your local doctors as well. But there's a person who's taken on and found that brand nettle works. What is brand nettle? Can you help me a little bit with that, Kerry?
I was going to say, actually, it's not a name that I'm familiar with, so I'm trying to see if the listener could maybe tell us what it looks like or where about in a garden does she find it.
Okay, maybe we put the listener called in again. Perhaps it would be appreciated if you can just tell us what it is and where you found it. So this is the listener who's called in. If you can please call back again, because I'm also not too familiar. It sounded very much like what we would call a misplaced plant or a weed. I'm not too sure if that was it.
I wasn't sure if maybe it was your dichondra, which you find in the lawn, which would have healing properties, or maybe it's one of the weeds that you find in your flower beds.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. You know, it sounds very much to me like, you know, something like the dandelion or something like one of those nettles. I'm not sure. And with it would have, from my understanding, carry it would be, you know, the leaves and the outer leaves would sort of be, or you know, spiky. I'm not too sure. But fine spikes, if I understood the caller correctly. Because that's why she said he did very lightly onto the person.
Yeah.
Okay, the person can call in. I would appreciate it if she could call back and just explain to us what the brand nettle is. It's much appreciated. Kerry, I've got another question. I'm sorry about that. We're talking about mulching. You know, tell us what mulch is, because lots of people are not sure how to use this mulch. Whilst we've spoken about it on a number of occasions, maybe people will be more alert now.
Okay, so I think mulch is anything that's going to cover the soil in between your plant layer, you know, where your plants are, you have your plants, and then next to it you have your mulch. And the mulches, you could either have living mulches or non-living mulches. So your non-living mulches, a lot of people are using it for hard landscaping, it's your pebbles, you know, even putting pavers down. It's something that's protecting your soil layer and keeping it cool. And as I say, the pebbles seem to be quite a common one at the moment, although they can still get quite warm. But luckily, they retain the heat, and then the soil underneath, where your plants roots might be, is still going to be kept cool. My favorite are the living mulches. So that's using like ground covers and different plants. Under your roses, you want to put a living mulch, like maybe it's alyssum or erigeron, something beautiful that just protects your soil layer again and actually keeps it cool. People worry that when you use living mulches that they absorb in the water as well. But actually they use so little water and their roots are generally relatively shallow that they're not going to affect the plants that you're actually trying to protect by putting the mulch around it. And the other mulches that we get then are also the bark chips. Macadamia nutshells work wonderfully. And I think some of these mulches I also quite enjoy because slowly, slowly they're going to break it down over time and they're actually going to feed your plant. So it serves the dual purpose of enriching your soil, protecting your soil, and keeping the soil temperature cooler than if it was just bare exposed soil.
Thank you very much. I think we've got the call back in line. Let's just finish it with Ishi. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Sorry, man. What is the nettle, Chris, brand nettle? Can you just describe it to us? What does it look like?
It's a green leaf with like little soft thorns on the edges.
Yeah, so it would be. And where do you find it normally? Is it grown in outside the garden?
It's a weed. It's a weed growing in the garden.
It's a weed, great.
Yeah.
Kerry, do you understand that one, Kerry?
Yes, I'll have a look and see if I can find it. I think it must be almost, as you said, more like a type of a thistle.
Yeah, a little thistle. Do you find some black thorns on it when it's a matured plant?
I don't know.
Can you just get a little more and the shape of the leaf?
Is it
triangular?
No, it's more round.
It's more round, okay. And the stalk, is it a long stalk or a short one, stem?
Yeah, it's a little bit longish stem.
Okay, and is there any flowers on it?
No.
No flowers. And when do you normally find it?
It's in the gardens.
Yeah, but which period of the year? Throughout the year or is it just certain times of the year?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't take notice of that now, because I know when I was still at school, we used to take that and hit one another over the legs, and it gives like a burn feeling on the leg, almost like a shock. You see, that's mm-hmm. when it came to my mind.
Okay, I don't really know. We'll have to try and find it.
Maybe you can just check on the internet.
Yeah, but
on the brain nettle.
How do you spell B-R-A-N-D, brain nettle, N-E-T-T-L-E?
A nettle, N. Nickel, N-E-K-K-E-L.
A nickel.
Brand nickel, yes.
So it must be an Afrikaans word then.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay,
but,
we'll
now
try.
The other day I went to the doctor, I told him about it, and he went on to internet, and he found it on the internet.
Okay, we'll look for that. Thank you very much for calling back.
Oh,
it's much appreciated.
Right. I hope everybody will
benefit from it.
Benefit from this, inshallah.
Okay, shukran.
Okay, afwan. Okay, salam.
Alaikum salam. So that was a call. We've got another caller. Let's take the other call. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Please go ahead.
I just want to find out. I got Christmas trees, and because of the heat, they all are dying. So what should I do?
Is that the one? Can you explain to us what you mean by Christmas tree?
The Christmas tree is the purple one.
Okay, right. We've got that. Okay, thank you very much. We'll listen off air.
Okay, thanks. Sir.
Right. Islam. Carrie, you've got that one, the Christmas tree?
Yes. I was going to say, I think the challenge with the Christmas tree is what's happened is they're often grown, they call them ex-open ground, so they haven't been in their bag long enough to establish.
Okay.
So what you would need to do is, if it's still in the bag or you put it into a pot, is add a little bit more compost to it and maybe some, I want to say sadly, water. And it should come right. It's just what happens with the Christmas trees is the growers tend to take them out maybe 6 months ago, and they put them in a bag, and they don't seem to nestle quite so easily. So they don't seem to establish themselves and become strong trees before we sell them. I mean, quite a few garden centers, I know even ourselves now, we don't sell Christmas trees unless we know they've been out of the ground for over 18 months. Because they tend to have that habit of, they've been put in a bag now, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing in a bag when I want to be in the soil and have my roots growing, you know, everywhere? And so they go into a little bit of shock. But just a little bit of compost, some water, maybe if you had any type of a leaf fertilizer like Nitrosol or Seagrow, it would just give it that little bit of boost and make it feel a bit more comfortable in the bag, and you should see it will turn green again quite quickly.
The next question coming through with regards to herbs. What herbs would we still be able to plant?
For now? There's lovely herbs that you should be planting. One of the ones that Life as a Garden talks about often, which I'm really liking, is all the herbs for your cocktails and evening drinks. So it's your pineapple sages, your mint, things that you can add to your, you know, your water, because we should be drinking so much water at the moment because of the heat. But just to add a little bit of flavor to them, your basil is still doing really, really nicely. And most of your herbs, you would still be able to plant sage, thyme, I'm just trying to see what it's
lemon verbena.
Lemon verbena is a great one. And the healing properties of that is actually quite wonderful. When the other customer was phoning in about the nettles,
mm-hmm.
and I think it is that type of nettle plant that you find in amongst your grasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're kids and you don't want to walk on the grass because it's going to prickle you.
Okay.
I think it is one of the types of nettles that you do find in grass that most customers would actually probably put a some type of poison down to try and get rid of it, or herbicide to try and get rid of it. But it just shows you the healing properties that it does have.
Okay. We've got... go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I think the herbs at the moment, you know, it is the time for planting all your different herbs. And so they would be readily available, most of them, all the time, in your garden centers, or even from if you buy them in packets of seed. And they would do very nicely in this lovely warm weather that we're having.
Okay, let's go. And we've got another call in line. Let's take that call. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Please go ahead.
How are you, bro?
Alhamdulillah. Please go ahead with the question.
I want to find out what that lady's phone number that's phoned in with the pinch of treatment.
Okay, we'll try and get her to call back. If we don't have a number, if I do, I'll call back and we can get your number. Give us, leave your number with the engineer, and we'll try and see if we can get that lady calling back again.
Please, man. Because I'm suffering with the pinch also.
Okay, somebody sent in to say that Bran Nettle seems to be stinging nettle. I'm not too sure. Does that ring a bell with you, Karen?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it is a type of thing until let we find.
Okay, JazakAllah, thanks, but we'll try and get back. You call back and give the engineer the number. If he does call back, Muhammad Bilal, please take down the caller's number. JazakAllah. Kerry, you're talking about the stinging nettle.
I was going to say, it does seem that it is a stinging nettle when I have a look for it, that you do find in the gardens, and you actually do find it wild. It's got a beautiful serrated leaf edge,
mm-hmm.
and you actually often don't notice it in your garden. It's more, it's quite a slightly more taller plant. You know, I'm talking maybe 20 centimeters. And I know when we were walking in the felt recently, we were busy looking for, you know, when poachers put down, oh, I can't think of the word. Anyway, they're a trap to catch animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all came back and we were like, oh my goodness, this hurt my leg. And the, yeah, we had all got stinging nettles. So it is something that you find as a weed, more probably commonly found in the felt rather than in your gardens. I think we would have pulled them out of our gardens because they actually are quite painful. And it's not something that we would sell in the garden center. So I'm going to have to investigate where we'd be able to find it. But if you had felt close by to you where you're living, the chances are very strong that you would find it there.
Thank you very much. We've got another call in line. Let's take that one. Assalamu alaikum. Please go ahead. Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. I think we seem to have lost that caller. Curry, the question comes in about the three-leaf clover. Is that an edible plant?
It's one of them, the three-leaf clover, it is. It's actually a herb. The one where there's a variety of it that we use more commonly as the herb, which is called the bloody sorrel. And that's got the purple veins within it. But the, just the normal one, the three-leaf clover, you could eat it as well. I don't think it has, it probably has a nice taste to add to your salad and things.
Wow.
In terms of properties as a healing plant or medicinal plant, I don't think it has any healing properties as such, but it has got that nice tangy taste.
Is that the one with the purple flower in it?
It's got either got a tiny, tiny white flower that you hardly ever notice, or the one that we would sell as a herb actually is got the purple within the veins of it. So it's a purple and green leaf. It's very, very pretty and often used as a ground cover.
But what's the one, I'm thinking of one that I've seen, one that there's sort of a purple flower on it. Any idea? Does that ring a bell?
As a clover?
Well, it's a three-leaf, it looks like a three-leaf clover.
It's not ringing any bells at the moment, but I probably cut my lawn too fast for it to actually flower and for us.
Well, this one grows quite tall, and it grows quite cool. It looks like three little butterflies onto a stem, and looks like three, and then the leaves get quite big. You know, can be quite could be so maybe about 1.5 centimeters big. You know, the leaves. I'm not sure if that's the same one we're talking about.
No, I'm thinking of a smaller one that has smaller leaves. Probably the three leaves altogether would be about 2.5 centimeters.
What I think we need to do is, if anyone's got a photograph of that, we'll send it to you and you can have a look at that. Perhaps it's easier to identify it. We've got another call in line. Let's take that one. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. I need help for termites in the lawn, please.
Termites in the lawn, okay.
Oh, it's gone wild.
Carrie, can we help with termites in the lawn?
Can I hear on the radio?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. One of my favorite products to use for termites in the lawn is, and I have to think what it's called. It comes in a yellow box, and it works really well. But you could also use, Effecto has a lovely product that's called Zero Termites. So it's a, it comes in a bottle, you dilute it in water and you spray it in. The other one that we use is, I'm just trying to think of them all. You could use carpet spray, also helps for termites in the lawn. And there's also a fertilizer that is 411, which has carpet spray in it. So it's almost like a two-in-one, where you feed in your lawn and you're getting rid of the termites at the same time.
Okay.
So those are the three products that you could use generally quite easily to get rid of them in your lawn.
So is the Effecto, the carpet spray, and the 411?
So carpet spray, the 411, and as I say, zero for termites.
Okay, zero for termites. Is that the product called zero for termites?
There's a product called zero for termites, and kamikaze is another one that you could also use.
Kamikaze, I'm just writing down. Have you taken note of all of that? Have you taken note of all that the caller's called in? Hello?
Did I go too fast?
No, no, I think I don't know if the call has gone. Okay, but it is 414 kamikaze and zero for termites and effecto. So I think we've got a number of products that we can use. I've got an... carry on.
The last one, that's, but it's not, it's just an idea, but because we're in a drought, it's not a good idea, is often we just say, because I don't like to put too many chemicals down in the lawn, is that you just water well. And if you water very well, then the termites will disappear and go somewhere else where they're not watering their lawn or looking after it nearly as nicely. So.
Well, somebody shared something here with us, Carrie. It says comfrey may be beneficial for the use of a pinched nerve. Any idea on that?
Absolutely. Comfrey and borage. Those are wonderful ones where you take their leaves and you almost make a poultice of their leaf. So you heat it slightly and then you put it onto your skin, as long as there's no like wounds on the skin itself.
Okay.
And it forms a lovely, almost want to say like a heat cooling effect, you know, that hot and cold, but you just, as I say, put it on and it's very, very soothing and very healing. It's a fantastic, we would call it a poultice that we use on humans, and we actually often use it on animals as well. I know we use it on the horses if they've got sore legs. We heat it up, put it on their legs, wrap a bandage around, and the healing properties are quite incredible.
So what do you do with the comfrey? Do you sort of pulp it up and then put it on, or do you put it on just raw?
No, no, you'd have to heat the leaves slowly on a stove, almost boil them a little bit to soften them.
Okay.
And then you, make it almost into a pulp, and then put it on, and then wrap a bandage around it.
And the other plant
was? That was fantastic.
You said there were two, this comfrey, and the other one was?
Is borage.
Oh, yes, borage, B-O-R-A-G, okay. And that's also, these are also two herbs that will be available at garden centers this time of the year, is that correct?
Yes, they would be available. And they're actually wonderful to just, I mean, once you've used those leaves, then you don't throw it away, you go and add it to your compost heap. Because it's got so many healing properties and good minerals inside it, it actually adds as a very good, I want to say fertilizer, as it decomposes, it adds a whole lot of nutrients into your compost. So, as I say, don't go and then throw those leaves that you've used as for healing on your skin or for your muscles or your nerves. Rather than go and put them on your compost heap or dig them into your garden somewhere where you have a precious plant. And you'll just see they create a beautiful environment for plants to grow because they release all their nutrients and minerals back into the soil.
Well, thank you very much, Kerry. We've run out of time. We've come to the end of another wonderful program. I must say to you, we set out to do so much and we haven't even done half of that. But it's absolutely just wonderful to chat to you. And I know that always so inspirational, getting so much more advice. And Kerry, you take care. Look after yourself. Have a wonderful, you know, period of rest. I think you deserve every minute of it. And we'll chat to you sometime in the new year. You take care.
For sure. Have a wonderful time.
Thanks, Star. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was Kerry Goodwin telling us about some of the healing properties. We set out to do so many other things, but unfortunately we've run out of time. And to the sister who's called in earlier, if you could call to leave us your details, somebody would like to get in touch with you with regards to the brand knuckle. So the sister who's called in with the brand knuckle, if you could call back with your telephone number, give it to our engineers so that someone else would like to get in touch with you. He also has a similar problem and would appreciate it. And to the brother who's called in, please leave your details with our engineer so we can put you in touch with the sister. That's all that we have until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.